Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I am your host, Christopher. During our program, please join us in our chat rooms where you can comment, ask questions, or discuss our program. You will find that on blogtalkradio.com/hallelujah-pete. You may also email us your questions at hallelujahpete@gmail.com. You may also send a text message to us with your questions or comments to area code 567-259-6043. Also, like us on our Facebook page, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Happy Monday, everybody. And once again, I say unto you, my precious brothers and sisters listening out there, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I also say thank you, Jesus, for another lesson in Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. And there are so many versions for us to draw from, but all of our lessons and instructions will be taken this evening from the Old King James Version of the Bible. And as I welcome you all to this episode tonight, I stay excited because we're still talking about Ezekiel out of his book, which is 48 chapters long. And I have written 98 instructions. And we know that this study expounds upon the teachings of the prophet Ezekiel, who is considered by many theologians as the gloom and doom prophet. He scolded both Judah and Israel constantly because of their disobedience against the laws of God. Many of his prophecies have already been fulfilled. The ones that haven't are still yet lingering and looming against Israel today, more especially those pertaining to the end of time, as also revealed in the book of Revelations by John the Revelator, who also is known as John the Apostle Divine. Now, I highly suggest that you have your Bible sources open, your laptops, tablets, Bible apps, or regular Bibles, and have your pens and pencils ready for taking notes. Now, another reminder, every 10 minutes or so, we will have a commercial break, as I like to consider it, which at that time, you may ask questions or comment or inquire if you like, because our host has set up a chat room that we can go to together and dialogue one with another. Now, before we get started, I want to take this time, as I always do personally, to thank all who have given instructions and have given me comments and advice on this particular show. I am so thankful, my precious brothers and sisters, and I assure you that I am definitely incorporating each one that I can into the program. Now, as the theme song for the show suggests, the question for this hour is, as always, are you standing on the promises of God or Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and he will add the rest to you." That's taken from Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Now, the promise is that you will receive righteousness of Christ if you seek the kingdom first. Jesus said again, "Learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light, and I will give you rest and peace unto your soul." That's taken from Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. Again, the promise is that you will receive the rest of God, the rest of Jesus, and the peace of God, the peace of Jesus, if you let and learn about him. Jesus said again, if you love me, you will keep my words, and the Father will love you, and he and I will make our abode in you. This is taken from John chapter 14, verse 23. Now, the promise is that you will have the indwelling, my precious brothers and sisters, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, if you keep Jesus' words. Okay, again, the question for this hour is, are you standing on the promises of Jesus Christ? Okay, now let's, before we go to the study, I want to always reinforce and rehearse this with the listening audience, my precious brothers and sisters. The Bible is written in code, completely, meaning mysteries, secrets, parables, prophecies, proverbs, paradoxes, riddles, and symbols. And the only way to break this code is through study and learning. That's why we come together tonight for sure, to study and learn one with another. Now, let's get to the study. Turn your Bible sources with me to Ezekiel, and we're going to be looking at Ezekiel chapter 39. And we're going to look at several verses, verse 7 through 11 and verse 17, and verse 21 through 29. Now, this is essential. The text, before I read it, this is what I want you to concentrate on. I want you to keep this in mind, my brothers and sisters. This is the instruction, the battle royal. Okay, this is, you might say, the coup d'etat or the coup de grace. This is it, and it is prophesied by Ezekiel to Israel way back in the Old Testament in Ezekiel chapter 39, verse 7. And this is what Ezekiel said. So will I make my holy name known in the midst of my people Israel, and I will not let them pollute my holy name anymore. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, the Holy One of Israel. Now, verse 8 says, behold, it is come and it is done, saith the Lord God. This is the day whereof I have spoken, and they that dwell in the cities of Israel shall go forth, and shall set on fire and burn the weapons, both the shields and the bucklers, the bows and the arrows, and the hand staves and the spears, and they shall burn them with fire 7 years, so that they may take no wood out of the field, neither cut down any of the forests. For they shall burn the weapons with fire, and they shall spoil those that spoil them, and rob those that rob them, saith the Lord God. And this is what verse 10 or 11 says, and it shall come to pass in that day that I will give unto Gog a place there of graves in Israel, in the valley of the passengers on the east of the sea, and it shall stop the noise of the passengers, and there shall they bury Gog and all his multitude, and they shall call it the valley of Hormagog. And verse 21 through 29 completes the thought. Verse 21 says, and I will set my glory among the heathen, and all the heathen shall see my judgment that I have executed, and my hand that I have laid upon them. So the house of Israel shall know that I am the Lord their God from that day on forward. And the heathen shall know that the house of Israel went into captivity for their iniquity, because they trespassed against me. Therefore I hide my face from them, and gave them into the hands of their enemies. So fell they all by the sword. According to their uncleanness and according to their transgressions have I done unto them, and hid my face from them. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, now will I bring again the captivity of Jacob, and have mercy upon the whole house of Israel, and will be jealous for my name's sake. And the last verse, verse 28 and 29 says, then shall they know that I am the Lord their God, which caused them to be led into captivity among the heathens. But I have gathered them unto their own land, and have left none of them any more. Neither will I hide my face any more from them, and I will pour out my spirit upon the house of Israel, saith the Lord. I needed to read it all, my brothers and sisters, because this was prophesied way back in the Old Testament before Revelations came into play to give the final account of this event. And now I see we had our first pause or rehearsal, or not rehearsal, but we'll take the commercial break and then return to the study.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let's get back to the battle royale. Now, we know that Ezekiel gave a lot of information while Israel was in captivity in Babylon about this battle royale. And now let's go to Exodus. I want to just share with you to show where this is identified as the last one. But let's read about the one that was with Israel back in the days of Exodus. We're going to go to Exodus chapter 11, verse, we're going to read several verses, and this is just to substantiate and augment what we have already talked about. Exodus chapter 11, verse 1 says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Yet will I bring one more plague upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. Afterwards he will let the people go hence. When he shall let them go, he shall surely thrust you out hence altogether. Then verse 4 through 6 continues. And Moses said, thus saith the Lord, about midnight when I go out into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sitteth upon the throne, even unto the firstborn of the maidservant that is behind the mill, and all the firstborn of beasts. And these shall be a great cry, and there shall be a great cry in the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it, nor shall be like it any more. Do you hear what I'm saying, my brothers and sisters? This was a battle royale. And this is what verse 9 says to complete this particular thought. And the Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that my wonders may be multiplied in the land of Egypt. What? So this is not concluding this particular war. Let's listen to what else God did and said about this. We're going to go to Exodus 14. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 14, and we're going to read more of what happened during this battle. In Exodus chapter 14, verse 4, it says, continuing, and I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his hosts, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord, and they shall do so. And verse 13 continues, it says in verse 13, and Moses said unto the people, fear not, stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, ye shall see them again no more and forevermore. And this concludes the thought of this particular battle. Verse 26 through 28, and the Lord God said unto Moses, stretch out thy hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to its strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it. The Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea, and the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after him, and there remained no more, not such a one of them. That was a battle royale. Now what we want to do, we're going to go to the New Testament, and we're going to compare what we just read, and we're going to see what is going to happen in the end. This is the coup d'etat, or the coup de grâce, if you will. This is what the book of Revelation says in chapter 1, verse 7 and 8. Listen, my brothers and sisters, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending. Did you hear that, my brothers and sisters? That is the finality of the battle royale. When Jesus cracks the sky, as some theologians like to put it, we will all respond. Those who love him, those who do not know him, and that hate him, with agony. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. Turn back with me, if you will. We're going to go back to Ezekiel chapter 40 this time. Ezekiel chapter 40. We're going to look at several verses, verse 2 through 4, and this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as I read the scripture text to you. The vision of the new temple. All of what Ezekiel is sharing with the Israelites at that time has not come to pass yet, my brothers and sisters. Listen to what he says about the vision of the new temple. Ezekiel chapter 40, verse 2 through 4. It says, in the visions of God brought he me into the land of Israel and set me upon a very high mountain by which was the frame of a city on the south. And he brought me thither, and behold, there was a man whose appearance was like the appearance of brass, and a line of flax in his hand, and a measuring reed. And he stood at the gate. And the man said unto me, son of man, behold with thy eyes and ears, and hear with thy ears, and set thy heart upon all that I show thee, for the intent that I may show them unto them thee all that I might show them unto thee art thou brought thither. Declare all that thou hast seen to the house of Israel. Even though this was not coming soon, this is what Ezekiel was supposed to show Israel at that time as a forewarning, and he did. Now, let's go to Genesis chapter 28, and we're going to see an exact duplicate, or if you will, a reference to this occurring in Genesis chapter 28, verse 10 through 14. Genesis chapter 28, verse 10 through 14. And this is how a vision appeared to Jacob, foretelling of what was going to happen to Israel. Chapter 28, verse 10 through 14. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went towards Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them as his pillow and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder sat up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending upon it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac, the Lord whom whereon thou liest, the land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee, and in thy seed, shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Verse 18 continues, and Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stones that he had put for his pillow and set it upon a pillar and poured oil upon it. And he called the name of the place Bethel, but the name of that city was called Luz at the first. That is the vision that Jacob saw of the temple of God in that view. And I see now we're at another commercial break. Let's take that commercial break, and then we'll continue with the lesson.
I want to share with you a powerful story about a snake and a saw. Before you question what a snake and a saw has to do with your life, it is about much more than a snake and a saw. It's about what happens to us when we react in anger. It's about what happens to us when we hold on to resentment and when we don't let go of negative emotions. It's about what can happen to us when we want negative things to happen to others. So the story is this. One night after closing time, a snake found its way inside a home improvement store. As the snake slithered around, it clipped itself on a handsaw that was lying on the ground. Thinking the saw was a threat, the snake instantly snapped around and bit the saw. Of course, this caused much more damage, with the snake cutting inside its mouth. Not understanding what was happening and thinking the saw was an enemy, the snake wrapped its long body around the saw, attempting to suffocate. Of course, the snake didn't do any damage to the saw. Instead, ended up being killed by the sharp blade of the saw. The snake ended up being killed by its own anger, by its own reaction to something it thought was out to get it. There's a powerful message here. Often we react in anger when we think others have hurt us, or when we assume that others are out to get us. We react when we don't need to. We hold on to resentment, and sometimes we hope the other gets hurt. But in doing so, we only end up hurting ourselves. The negative energy we carry around when we hold on to these resentments and negative feelings only makes us suffer. Never the person we might want to suffer. When we react in anger rather than with compassion, no one wins. When we snap back, we can't win. It is always better to ignore negativity. It's always better to let go of negative feelings toward others and rather focus on creating the best life we can for ourselves. If someone does us wrong, rather than react angrily, maybe we should try to understand where that person is coming from. Show some compassion. Maybe they are having a bad day. Maybe all of their days are bad. When we look at things from a new perspective, it is much easier to move. Leaving all negative energy behind. Holding on does nothing good for our future. We must let go. We must move on before the anger consumes us and ruins us like a snake. Don't react. Instead, show compassion. Don't hold on. Instead, move on. And rather focus on creating the best life we can for ourselves.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters listening out there, we are talking about the vision of the new temple. And we know that Ezekiel gave an explicit vision to Israel back in the time that they were in captivity in Babylon. And we expanded upon that by the vision that Jacob had about angels ascending and descending, and that the promise God made to him, and that, of course, they were coming from the temple and returning to the temple. Now we're going to go to the New Testament. We're going to compare and agree. This is 1 Corinthians. Turn your Bible sources with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and this is what Paul says about that in verse 16 through 19. Paul says, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and not the Spirit of God? And that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defiles the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness." My precious brothers and sisters, listen. The vision of the new temple. We need to take care of ourselves. We are the temple of God. That's what I want you to get from this instruction. Okay, let's go now to the next instruction. Turn your Bible sources again back to Ezekiel chapter 41. We're going to go to Ezekiel chapter 41. We're going to look at verse 1 through 4. And as I read the scripture text to you, I want you to keep in mind this instruction. The most holy place described. Now we're getting into a lot of symbolism, getting into a lot of the word that I want to use means farsightedness, but I can't think of it. But this is what Ezekiel said about the most holy place. Chapter 41, verse 1 through 4. "Afterward, he brought me to the temple and measured the posts, 6 cubits. Broad on the one side, 6 cubits broad on the other side, which was the breadth of the tabernacle. And the breadth of the door was 10 cubits, and the sides of the door were 5 cubits on the one side and 5 cubits on the other side. And he measured the length thereof 40 cubits, and the breadth 20 cubits. Then went he inside and measured the post of the door, 2 cubits, and the door 6 cubits, and the breadth of the door 7 cubits. So he measured the length thereof 20 cubits and the breadth 20 cubits before the temple. And he said unto me, This is the most holy place." My brothers, that's what he gave as a symbolism prophecy to Israel while they're in captivity, telling about things to come. Now, let's go to Exodus and see a comparison. Turn with me, if you will, your Bible sources to Exodus. We're going to look at Exodus chapter 26. Exodus chapter 26, verse 33. Through 37, and listen to what Moses had to instruct the Israelites to do. "And there shall hang up the veil under the torches, or the tatches, and thou mayest bring in thither within the veil of the ark of the testimony, and the veil shall divide unto you between the holy place and the most holy, and thou shalt put the mercy seat upon the ark of the testimony in the most holy place. And thou shalt set the table within the veil, and the candlestick over against the table on the side of the tabernacle toward the south. And thou shalt put the table on the north. And thou shalt make a hanging of the door of the tent of blue and purple and scarlet. and fine twine linen wrought with needlework. And thou shalt make for the hanging five pillars of shittim wood, and overlay them with gold, and their hooks shall be of gold, and thou shalt cast five sockets of brass for them. My brothers and sisters, this was the first holy place, the physical holy place that God set in motion in the beginning of time when Israel was set free and was able to worship him in spirit and in truth. Now we're going to go to the book of Revelations. Turn with me to the book of Revelations, and we're going to see what Revelation chapter 21, verse 1 through 4 tells us about the last holy place described. This is Revelation chapter 21, verse 1 through 4, and this is what it says. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. My brothers and sisters, the most holy place for you and I is to be God's tabernacle. And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God shall wipe them or shall, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, and the former things are passed away. My precious brothers and sisters, this is what it should mean to us spiritually, that the most holy place, period, with God, is inside you and me and all of us. That's what I want you to understand from this particular lesson or instruction. Now, let's go back to Ezekiel. Turn back with me to Ezekiel, and we're going to go to Ezekiel chapter 42. Ezekiel chapter 42. And this is what Ezekiel said, and we'll read chapter 42, verse 13 and 14, just two verses. And what I want you to do is keep in mind this particular instruction as I read the two verses to you. In fact, I see, well, it's this is what the instruction should be or is. The priest's chamber identified. This is where Ezekiel, again, he's prophesying where the priest's chamber is going to be identified in the coming millennium. This is what he said in Ezekiel chapter 42, verse 13 and verse 14. He said, then said he unto me, the north chambers of the and the south chambers, which are before the separate place, they be holy chambers, where the priests that approach unto God shall eat the holy thing. They shall lay the most holy things and the meat offering and the sin offering and the trespass offering, for the place is holy. And verse 14 completes the thought. When the priests enter therein, then shall they not go out of the holy place into the utter court. There they shall lay their garments wherein they minister, for they are holy, and shall put on other garments and shall approach to those things which are of the people. Now, this particular prophecy has been completed. The second temple has been built, and that was the prophecy that Ezekiel was prophesying about the most holy place in the second temple. Now, before that, of course, we know that there was a most holy place in the first temple, and that's what I want to refer to, and I see we're at another break. Let's take that break, and then we'll complete the instructions.
As a man thinketh, so is he. The power of your mind can transform impossible to possible. as a man thinketh, so is he. The power of your mind can transform impossible to possible. This book says nothing is impossible to you. And if you really believe that, that will transform your life. That's a fact. The power of your mind can transform I can't to I will.
I love you. And I couldn't save her.
Sorrow into joy. Defeat into victory.
Sorry.
Stress into peace. Doubt into faith. David said, thy word have I hidden in my heart. Hidden in his heart mean he memorized it. Do you read the Bible enough to have any of it memorized? Because when you get in a spiritual battle, you don't have time to listen to a tape series. Change your thoughts and you'll change your world. If you think you can, you will. If you think you're beaten, you are. If you think you will fail, you will fail. It's not what you're going through. It's what you're going to. God's word says nothing is impossible to those that believe. Say that with me. Nothing is impossible to those that believe. And when you start believing that simple verse, your life will never be the same. Give the Lord praise in the house.
The Bible says it is with the mind that we serve the Lord. It is with the mind that we serve the Lord. The mind is the battleground. It is the place where the greatest conflict is. There are more people in this room having trouble in their mind than there are people having trouble in their finances. The struggle is in your mind. This is why we have people who go to bed tired and wake up tired. Slept 8 hours and you wake up still tired. The reason you wake up tired is that you got sleep, but you didn't get rest. Your mind has been in turmoil all night long. You've been wrestling in your sleep. Have you ever woke up and your bed was wet? The bed is all torn, just like you've been in a fight, because your mind has not rested. Your body went to sleep, but your mind is still caught up in a warfare. Your mind is the battleground. Pet somebody and tell them the enemy's after your mind. Out to worry you to death, out to stress you to death, out to break you down, out to make you quit, out to make you think that you can't get up, out to make you give up on your dream. The warfare is in your mind. It's not in your checkbook. It's not in your savings account. It's not on your job. The fight that you've got to fight is in your mind. And if you whip it in your head, you can whip it in your checkbook. You can whip it on your job. You can whip it out of your children. But you got to cry. Get out of your head.
Wasn't all that close, and the room wasn't all that dark, because God was there. God causes all things to work together for good. I knew he'd cause something good to come out of this. Did that stop the pain? No, but it made me assured of this. There's a limitation to it. And God sets a limitation to every trial, every heartache, every burden. We just have to respond the right way.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let's continue with the lesson. We are on instruction number 87, and the priest chambers identified by Ezekiel was physical. And of course, to amplify that, we're going to go now to Exodus. Turn your Bible sources with me to Exodus chapter 25. We're going to read a few verses that will amplify the requirement for a place for the priests of God to reside. And this is what Exodus 25, verse 1 and 2 says. It says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they bring me an offering. For every man that giveth it willingly with his heart, he shall take my offering. And this is the offering which ye shall take of them, gold and silver and brass." Verse 8 and 9 completes the thought. "And let them make a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them, according to all that I show thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle, and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall ye make it." So that is identifying a place that all of this was supposed to be brought and where the priests actually resided. Now what we're going to do is go to the New Testament complement, and we're going to see how this is converted spiritually to us today. We're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16 through 18. And listen to this, my brothers and sisters. And this is where it is converted spiritually, but it does identify it in physical terms. Verse 16 through 18, this is 2 Corinthians chapter 6. "And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And I will receive you unto myself. I will be your father, and you will be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord God Almighty." What this is identifying is God is, as we mentioned earlier, the tabernacle of God is with men. And we are the priests of Christianity. We have a high priest that is Jesus Christ, and all of those who are considered Christians are priests, and priests must have a place to reside, or and that place is within them. The kingdom of heaven is within you. That's what Jesus said. That's where we should go for our solace. That's where we should go when we retreat. That's where we should go when we need to question what is going on in our lives. That's where the priest goes, into the sanctuary, and that sanctuary is in God. Okay, that's what I want you to get from this instruction. In fact, this is what, that the Spirit of God is where God resides, and that's where the priest sanctuary is, where God resides. Okay, so now let's go to the next instruction. We're going to go to back to Ezekiel. This time we're going to look at chapter 43 in Ezekiel, verse 6 through 8. Chapter 43, verse 6 through 8. And what I want you to do is keep in mind this particular instruction as I read the scripture text to you. The second temple, the vision of God entering the second temple. Again, this is all clairvoyant. It's all, you know, out of sight. This is stuff that has not come to pass yet, but it was rehearsed for Israel by Ezekiel during their captivity in Babylon. The vision of God entering the second temple. And this is what Ezekiel chapter 43, verse 6 through 8 says. "And I heard him speaking unto me out of the house, and the man stood by me, and he said unto me, Son of man, the place of my throne and the place of the soles of my feet, where I will dwell in the midst of the children of Israel forever, and my holy name shall be the house of Israel no more, defiled neither they nor their kings by their whoredom nor by their carcasses, of their kings in their high places, in their settings, of their threshold by their threshold, and their post by my post, and the wall between me and them. They have ever defiled the holy name by their abominations that they have committed, wherefore have consumed them in my anger." So God is telling us, or using Ezekiel to give an instruction to Israel about God being in his second temple. And this is, to expound upon this, let's go to Exodus chapter 40, Exodus chapter 40, verse 33 through 38. Exodus chapter 40, verse 33 through 38. And this is what Israel was commanded to do by God through Moses. In verse 33 through 38, Exodus chapter 40. "And he reared up the court round about the tabernacle and the altar, and set up the hanging of the court gate. So Moses finished the work, Then a cloud covered the tent of the of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode thereof, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And when the cloud was taken up over the tabernacle, the children of Israel went on their journey. But if the cloud was not taken up, they did not journey that day until the cloud was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and fire was on it by night, in the sight of all of the house of Israel throughout all of their journey. So that was more explicit, that God was in the temple much more then physically than is today. And why I say that is because we're going to go to the New Testament complement. We're going to go to Revelation chapter 22. In Revelation chapter 22, and I see that we're at the next or our final break of the evening. Let's take that break, and then we'll complete the lesson.
A lot of people talk a good game, don't they? They say they're going to do this and that. But when push comes to shove, they disappear. When it's game time, they're nowhere to be seen. They say they're going to be the greatest ever, but their work ethic shows average effort. They say they're going to be rich or famous, but their habits are poor and ordinary. Talking is not enough. You must do. Talking is not enough. You must put in the work. You must develop the habit of following through with your word. When you say you're going to do something, you do it. It's called integrity. When you honor your word, you build pride for yourself and respect from others. When you don't, when you talk the talk and never walk, you lose pride and you lose respect. Repeat to yourself every day. If I say I'm going to do something, I do it. If I give my word, I do it. If I talk it, I will walk it. If I say I'm going to do something, I do it. If I give my word, I do it. If I talk it, I will walk it. When it gets hard, I gave my word. If something comes up, I gave my word. I will get it done. I don't even have to think twice. I get it done. I will get it done. Talkers talk. Walkers walk. Don't tell them what you're going to do. Show them what you've done. Let your results speak for you. Results say more than words ever will. Keep your word. Do the work. Get the results. Game time. This is my word. I've said it. Now I will do it.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we are looking at the instruction, the vision of God entering the second temple. And of course, we took that from Ezekiel chapter 43, verse 6 and 8, and verse 10 through 12. And I did not read verse 10 through 12, that more especially gave more of a reference to God's entering the second temple. You can read that on your own. But I also read Exodus chapter 40, verse 33 through 38, and that explicitly told of the temple at the time that Israel was in the desert in Exodus. And now what we're going to do is go to Revelation chapter 22, verse 3 through 5, and this is the end result of all of that. This is the reference to God entering that temple, and this is Revelation 22, verse 3 through 5, and it says, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth the light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And we know that verse 5 tells it. We rehearsed earlier in chapter 21 where God says his tabernacle is with men. My brothers and sisters, that's where God's going to reside. So with this vision of God entering the second temple, this is what the book of Revelation tells us that it will be. And we know that that means that God will be a part of man and man will be a part of God. And that is when he enters him, that's when it will be over. Okay, let's go now to the next instruction. In fact, this is the final instruction for the evening. Turn back with me to Ezekiel chapter 43. We're going to take another instruction out of Ezekiel 43. We're going to look at verse 18 and 19 and verse 25 through 27. And this is the, as I read the scripture text to you, this is what I want you to keep in mind. This is the instruction that I want you to focus on, the altar offerings. Now, there are many offerings, and we know that the main offering is ourselves. But this is the way that it developed, and more especially in the time that Ezekiel spoke to Israel, this is what he said about that offering. In chapter 43, verse 18 and 19, he said, "And he said unto me, Son of man, thus saith the Lord God, these are the ordinances of the altar in the day when they shall make up to offer burnt offerings thereon and to sprinkle blood thereon. Verse 19 continues, and thou shalt give to the priests, the Levites, that be of the seed of Zadok, which approached unto me to minister unto me, saith the Lord God, a young bullock for a sin offering." Then let's go to 25, verse 25 through 27, and it concludes the thought. 7 days shalt thou prepare every day a goat for a sin offering. They shall also prepare a young bullock and a ram out of the flock without blemish. 7 days shall they purge the altar and purify it, and they shall consecrate themselves. And when these days are expired, it shall be that upon the 8th day and so forward, the priest shall make your burnt offerings upon the altar and your peace offerings, and I will accept you, saith the Lord God. At that time, that was physical sacrifices for God. And we know that it started back in Leviticus. The law consecrated it, so this is not something that was new. What happened was the disobedience of Israel at the time, that they weren't doing it correctly, and that's why they ended up in captivity being punished. Now, this is what Leviticus says in verse 1, 2, 7, and 8 about making offerings to show how critical offerings are to God. And this is what it says. And the Lord called Moses and spake unto him out of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying, "Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, if any man of you bring an offering unto the Lord, ye shall bring your offering of the cattle, even of the herd and of the flock." Verse 7 and 8 completes the thought. And the sons of Aaron, the priests, shall put fire upon the altar and lay the wood in order upon the altar. Aaron's sons shall lay the parts, the head and the fat, in order upon the wood that is on the fire, which is upon the altar. All sacrifices are critical to God. That's the bottom line. We must offer sacrifices. And now we're going to see today how those sacrifices are offered spiritually. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Peter. And this is what 1 Peter chapter 1 tells us. And this is so significant for you and I today, my precious brothers and sisters. These are the type of sacrifices we are to be offering to God spiritually. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says, "Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Verse 18 through 19 gives the details. "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was ordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. My brothers and sisters, that is the ultimate sacrifice to God for all of us. We remember in Isaiah chapter 53 when it says that he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace is upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. That is the sacrifice we must offer to God, is the belief in his son, Jesus Christ. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that the only altar offering God will accept for repentance, redemption, is the blood of his son, Jesus. And that is what causes us to receive the salvation that God has in store for us, that we do that, my brothers and sisters. So that is the completion of the lesson for this evening. Now, before we conclude, I want to tell you that the host and I would like to thank you and bless you for your participation and encouragement in our instructions tonight. And we will talk to you when we reconvene next Monday night at 8 p.m. Good night.
Choosing basic instructions before leaving Earth. I hope you are blessed by our program. Please join us every Monday evening at 8 p.m. for basic instructions before leaving Earth.